Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to your latest edition of the next page in the Great Canadian Songbook. Man, that's great. That's genius work there for me. As always, I'm Jax Wells here, of course, with my good pal Keegan. Keegan, how are we doing
good
tonight?
Good evening. I am great. It's weird. We've only got one more episode after this, which is... feels like... I was having this conversation at dinner, and I'm like, it feels like the past couple months just... I don't know where they've gone. And I feel like this has become like a ritual now that I do this every week. And now I'm like, what am I going to do?
It's so strange. So
yeah, but pretty good. Pretty good. No complaints. How about you?
Very good. I mean, listen, I've been good. You know, as everyone, I'm sure, feels the same way. It's a busy time to be a student at the end of March, beginning of April. So, yay. You listen to anything new recently?
Not really. Dayglow. I've been really into Dayglow. I don't know if I feel like you would know who Dayglow is.
I've
been on that kick for a couple days, but other than that, nothing really crazy. New Kings of Leon album's pretty good. I might have talked about that last week. Nothing crazy. Just kind of the same old, same old.
Yeah, very good.
What about you?
What you got? I've been listening. I've been doing a lot of work. So I've been listening to a lot of soundtracks. I've been listening to, I'm going to butcher his name, Joe Heihachi. He's the composer for basically every Hayao Miyazaki movie. If you know who that director is, beautiful soundtracks. Very, very good stuff. I would recommend the soundtrack to The Wind Rises, 2013 film. They're all on like streaming. So good, just good, you know, composed like, it's not study music, but it suits that well. That's what I've been doing.
Cool.
Yeah. But we've got an important job to do tonight, Keegan. This is the finale, or no, this is the finale of the semifinals, which maybe varies a little bit. So we have got to choose our next finalist. And this week we're choosing between Joni Mitchell and her album Blue against The Weeknd's album Trilogy, whatever, you know, we already know the deal at this point. Now these are two like very well discussed albums, on the show. So, I feel like we don't even really need to kind of go over them a little bit. I was re-listening to, Joni, cause I feel like I listened to The Weeknd a little more recently. That album, believe it or not, Keegan, it's good. Some good music. That's approved. I guess I am going to talk about the album like really briefly. Every time I come back, I'm like, yeah, I know it's good. I know it's good. Every time it just feels like I feel reinvigorated each time I listen to it and being like, yeah, this is great. And I know you feel the same way.
Yeah, no, I think honestly with both of them, but especially with Joni's album, I think that melancholy kind of, not even sadness, but just, I think melancholy is probably the best way to put it, that you feel when you listen to her album. I just feel like it's such a good body of music, and it holds up. Right. Like it's one of those ones where I think we talked a little about this last week too. It's been 50 years since this album came out, which is batshit crazy. And it still sounds really, really good. Obviously it's got the old time feel to it, but, it's definitely a great, great little record. And I love coming back to it every single time.
Yeah. There's just something, I feel like this is, not one of the few, but like this album, like so much benefits from the re-listen every time. It's just like, not that there's necessarily something new, but it just feels just as good, if not better each time. I really love it. I guess that's us going back to it. So it's only fair that we maybe go back to the Weeknd. I don't know if I really have too much to say to it, but the Weeknd album is just as good. I was listening to the quote unquote original. It is the kind of original release of House of Balloons, before it was kind of reworked for Trilogy recently. And that's kind of my most recent listen of it. And the man just did it. He just did the thing. And I don't know what much else there is to say about it.
Yeah, it's so creative. I think that's the one thing that I keep coming back to about the album, is that, you know, again, when we started this, I'd probably listened to like three of the songs on those records. Total, probably High for This, probably What You Need, and what would be the other one that I'd probably have heard?
After Hours, Starboy.
No, on Trilogy.
Probably High for It.
So, I mean, I didn't have any expectations going into this the first time. As I've kept coming back to it, I'm like, damn, this is really creative. It's really, you know, ambitious project to take on. Obviously, again, three separate EPs kind of condensed into one thing. But it's got such a great sound and so much, you know, great production work that went into it. I'm a big fan of it every time I come back, and I'm more impressed every time I listen to it. So it's definitely got that factor of surprise still for me, which is really great.
Yeah, these are two. I actually have a fun plan for next week that I'll actually maybe I'll say this, but these two were two kind of big, not really surprises, because obviously we picked them because they're very popular and successful Canadian albums, but two ones that I'm like, I'm glad I really took the time to dig into this. So yeah, these two are great. So now, I don't think we really have to take any pretense to it. I think we can just do it.
Yeah. I think we can probably get right into it. Like we've talked these albums into the ground. Honestly, I think these are the two.
Yeah. No,
you know?
Yeah, I agree. So, in terms of comparing these two, I don't know. I feel like last week we had the two like closest comparisons of albums that made it super hard. And this is kind of the opposite, but it's like equally as hard for that reason. I'm trying to think if I have really any like points of comparison that I want to make about them. I don't know if I have any right now. Do you have any like specific comparisons between the two that you want to make?
Actually, this is more of a question just because I didn't research this, and maybe I'll do it as I'm speaking. Was it her first record? I can't remember.
Think so. I don't think so. I think this might be a solid third record, which is one of the themes that we had here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's third.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see the other ones here now. I was going to say like for, you know, introductory albums or whatever, I was going to say, oh, well, look at how amazing. So obviously not the case for Joni. I think maybe I can put it to early in their careers. They have such great records. Obviously going on to be icons in their respective fields of musical work. Obviously The Weeknd doesn't really have as much of a, you know, time frame. I mean, we've got the better part of just over a decade. In terms of the albums themselves, I think they're personal in a way. Obviously, I think Joni Mitchell's is much more than The Weeknd's, but I think when we talked about the production on Trilogy and all that, a lot of it was done himself, like the original demos and all of those things. So they very much like, they feel like more almost self-made artists, even though I think Joni Mitchell,
they're both kind of intimate too.
And Joni, I think, had a bit more help on this record specifically than The Weeknd did on Trilogy. Very like the self kind of made, really personal records. I think that's the one point of comparison that they touch on.
Yeah. Joni Mitchell is by no means at the like end of her career when this album comes out, but I feel like in some ways she's got two albums under her belt, and she's also as a person and as a artist, she's been around the block a little bit. And you can see that in this song. Not that The Weeknd's writing is immature, a more weathered kind of approach to love and romance, and like the loss of that in Blue is I think not necessarily The Weeknd's fault, because he was like 20 or 21 when he wrote that album, but it's indicative of kind of where they're at in their careers when these albums come out. And it's just another way of me complimenting Blue for being a great album.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think that you can definitely take it from a maturity approach too. I think that's with a couple albums. We probably could have talked about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But you know, maturity in songwriting is definitely a thing. And with Joni, she's talking about very down to earth, personal things about her personal mm-hmm. relationships. And I think, you know, she's talking about her father and like all these other things. Like, it's just like, what the hell? It's very mm-hmm. much an insight into her mind. Whereas The Weeknd's like, I'm young, I'm going to talk about parties and women and sex and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, very, very different approaches to similar topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, as I would say, even in some ways they do broach similar themes. And even like similar, like sub themes, like lost romance encounters or whatever. But the kind of take on them is a little different. Which I don't know, these people too definitely don't have like the same writing style.
Yeah. And they, you know, totally different. And on that note too, like totally different types of music. Completely opposite, where like Blue's like woman with guitar and piano writes songs and plays mm-hmm. them, whereas man with big machine makes lots of sounds from mm-hmm. the machine.
Music machine go burr.
Two entirely different styles of music, which is an interesting comparison too. I'm trying to think of anything within that I could maybe pick at, but I'm not too sure if there's anything really to compare there. I mean, I've touched a lot about mm-hmm. how like I like simplicity. You know, when we talk about identity and this and that, I really like the simplicity and the personal nature. That's what I liked about Bring Me Your Love that we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. So yeah, who's to say in that sense? I'm not really sure where my train of thought is going here. I hope I'm not rambling, but yeah, I'm gonna let you take over now.
Yeah, I don't know. This album is, or Blue is definitely like a confessional album in terms of just a person like, maybe for better or for worse, personally, like just putting down what's happening and what she's feeling to the page. And certainly it shows out, and it's very vulnerable. And yeah, I think that's kind of really my... I don't know if there's like much more to like say about these two without just like picking one. I don't know if you agree.
I'm going to be honest. I'm a little bit at a loss today. I'm not.
Yeah.
I think the difficult thing about having to compare two very different albums is that they come from entirely different places. And so you can't really find the mm-hmm. point of contention. Maybe that's the right way to put it.
Yeah.
Like I think maybe we could probably spend a few minutes on the identity of them with Canadian-ness. I think we've talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like in even that, I don't even know if that's much of a conversation, because I think like I look at it from the point of view where I go, Blue seems more personal and more honest. And I think that's what I've been harping on for 14 episodes by now, of like, I really like the honest records and the things that really go into personal detail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not really too sure, Jackson. I don't really know.
Yeah. I think maybe from that perspective, one of the things I've always thought about Joni Mitchell is that she's like just a folk singer. Like she is Canadian. I don't necessarily like associate her with Canadian music other than the fact that she just is, and therefore she is kind of appreciated as a Canadian yeah. artist. But I think if you like really look at it, she did the thing that the most Canadian artists do that they have to do. They moved to LA and like made a living there, which is 100% respectable and like the way to do it. But I don't know, 100% associate her with like Canadian-ness, yeah. In that way. I think maybe The Weeknd, is of course similar. I wouldn't deny that, but I'm pretty sure if I had to guess, and I'm actually looking right now, The Weeknd still is pretty active in the local Toronto scene in some ways. He partnered with Justin Trudeau for some sort of support thing. I'm trying to read it and I lost it. I apologize, but I feel like he's kind of active in the community in terms of like donating money and like putting in programs and stuff like that. Yeah. If that's relevant at all, I don't think it's 100% relevant.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing to bring up too. And I mean, I don't know if that could apply as much to Joni, just because I think she's kind of off the scene and is battling her own issues. Yeah,
which is 100% her.
Yeah, which is totally fair. That's a good thing too. What I might say, and I thought could maybe be fun, because I think we still have some extra time after we do decide, and I'm just kind of running through this as I speak. I think it would be cool that once we decide, we should talk about who we expected our top four to be for this entire thing going into it, and obviously what it came down to and what our top two is. I think that could be a fun thing to do too.
That's fun. I agree. We can do that. And then I do have some fun plans for next week. Maybe I'll mention at the end. Cool. Okay. I am just going to throw it out there. What I think is the right answer. Are you ready? I think it's Joni.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just seems like the obvious choice here. Because you look at, the album, it's really solid album. I think the more you come back to it, you realize that like it's a really good piece of music. And on top of just like what she represents, she was an underdog in both senses of the term in the music scene at the time. She was a woman and she was Canadian in 1971 trying to make a career out of music. It's the same with Buffy St. Marie in a way, like those things kind of speak for themselves. The music industry in the 60s and especially the early 70s was really dominated by males, particularly, and Americans or British people. And, that was kind of it. So I think she really came from a place of being an underdog, and that's carried through, and I think has had a big influence on women in music particularly. I mean, who am I to say, but from what I have read, I get that impression. It just seems like the right choice there. Not to discredit The Weeknd, because I think the fact that it made it this far and beat out some like pretty great albums is a testament to how good 100%. I think it is. But I think time is also the main factor here too. I think that plays a bit of a role as well. So anyways, I want to get your thoughts.
No, I 100% agree. I think I've said this multiple times where I think there probably are quote unquote right answers to these questions. But I don't care if I like just don't like the music. And re-listening to Blue today, I was like, this is so good. Like I can't not, I love to be contrarian. I'm gonna be honest. I love to be like that popular thing. I'm too cool. I don't like it. I'm partially joking. But with Blue, I'm like, okay, here's the greatest Canadian album of all time. Okay, let's listen to it.
It's pretty damn good.
Sometimes people aren't wrong. Sometimes they're not lying. And I think The Weeknd's got a really, really great collection of tracks on that on Trilogy that have influenced music in the past 10 years. But the Joni that Joni record is just like all encompassing. Like it's all world.
It's everything. And it's her best work too. Like it's I don't think it's close. I don't think it's comparably close to the rest of her stuff. Where I think for some of these artists, I think you could argue that they might have one or two records that might compare. I think for Joni, like it just, it knocks everything else out of the park, as a collective, as an album. I think it's really well done. I don't really have a whole lot to add with it. I just think it's great. So Yeah.
Incredible. Well, in that case, we've got our two finalists.
Damn.
We've got next week is fully completely. I knew it was Tragically Hip. My mind blanked. Next week is Fully Completely by the Tragically Hip against Joni Mitchell's Blue for our finalists. Damn. Which that's a pretty good final, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to hear the conversation on this, because I feel like I'm going to take a side, and I feel like Mr. Jackson Wells might take another side, and it could actually be a very interesting conversation.
It's going to be something.
We'll see what happens there. I'm intrigued.
That might be, we'll do the 3-hour show next week.
Extravaganza.
By the end, we'll never want to talk to each other again. So maybe it's best.
Oh man. Yeah, but I'm curious, just as a real quick thing, like, what did you expect, like, when we started, what did you expect would make it to the top four and then the final two?
Yeah, good question. I'm looking at the original list we had now. If you were to ask me what I think was going to make it, I would have said The Hip, and I would have said Neil Young Harvest. I would have said The Hip, Neil Young. I could see City in Color, and then Big Pink, I think, would have been the other one that I would have picked. I just kind of went for the four quadrants of what I thought would end up in the semis from there.
Yeah, no, you? Mine's pretty similar, but I was actually going to say that, like, it would probably be between Moving Pictures and take Care.
Yeah, that was,
honestly, I would have thought that Drake would have made it a little bit farther, but that was a tough, a tough matchup. Hip for sure. Harvest probably would have been the most likely one there. Excuse me. And probably music from Big Pink. I would have expected to make it to the top four, or Funeral. Mm-hmm. I thought Funeral had like an underdog chance, you know?
I really thought that I was going to like that a lot more than I did. And then I really didn't. And I'll be honest, I've been listening to it a decent amount since we were so rude to it on a previous episode. And you know what? That was
not a bad record. They definitely could have done a lot worse with it. So, I'm not really as surprised by The Hip. I kind of figured that would happen. But with Joni, I'm actually a little shocked. And I think that's only because I didn't really listen to the album before. I think with probably half of these, if not three quarters, I hadn't really listened to these albums before. And this was just a case of just coming out and going, damn, this is a good record, you know? So, I was just curious to know that. It's a fun thing. So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. And I'm thinking next week, in addition to deciding a final or winner, we can do some songbook bracket challenge superlatives or something, where like most underrated underdog, biggest disappointment.
Biggest disappointment. Damn.
I'll put together a list, and we can run through them next week.
We'll post them on the Instagram afterwards, tag all the bands, and go, either you're really good or you suck.
Album stinks. Yeah. Okay, that was all I could come up with at the top of my head. All right,
that was a quickie.
We did a respectable thing. We knew what we needed to do. We got in there and we got out quick,
and we got the job done. That's all that mattered. Yep.
Yeah, that's all that matters. All right. Well, do you have any final words for the people?
I don't think so. I think, well, we'll be back again on Friday the 9th is when, after this episode goes up. So we'll be back on the 9th, and then we're done.
Then everyone's done.
I don't know. Listen to it. And if you're just tuning into the episodes now, you clearly missed some things and need to start again.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this 10 years in the future, you already know what the next one's going to be. So,
yes,
good for you.
Here's a question for you: Are we going to be the last show to go on air, Radio Laurier, this year?
Second last. There's going to be a show on the. There's going to be a show on the Sunday.
Can we
cut them?
No.
No, you're not allowed. Sorry, we have to go last.
No, Maybe the alternative is to cut this part of our show out. So it's like, I never said that.
Uploads on the 16th for all fun. Right. Yes.
All right. As always, you can check us out. You know what, if you want to hear, but it wouldn't be live, but if you want to hear a lot, live to tape, it's 7 o'clock on Fridays, or you can check us out on the Radio Lurie website or on Spotify and or any other streaming audio platform of your choice. And we'll be there the entire backlog. So if you want to like maybe refresh yourself going into the big finale, now's the perfect time.
You get to listen to us talk for hours on end in a row.
Yeah, just on a loop too. You hit that repeat and right back to the beginning. All right. Well, as always, thank you for checking us out. Get hyped for next week, our finale. And until then, this Canadian anthem thing that I started has been the worst idea. Because I have to say it in my head to get to the line. Glowing Hearts Command with glowing hearts. We see the oh, far and wide. Have a good night.